Hi there, this is Dr. Peter Tobias, and this is Dog School for Cool with Kathy Gibson. And today we have a very, very important topic on program, and that is the use of shock collars. Just a few days ago, I posted a post about shock collars, and I disagree with using them, and people went a little emotional about it, and I wanted to touch bases, and some people accused me that I'm a vet and I should mind my business and that I shouldn't poke my nose into dog behavior. And I thought, okay, maybe that's a good idea, and we are going to invite Kathy to see what she thinks. So here she is. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Peter. Hi, listening fans. Yeah, shock collars is a very, very powerfully emotional issue on both sides of the camp. I will give everybody a heads up that I am absolutely opposed to them for every possible reason under the sun, not only physical problems but emotional problems for both the owner and the dog. So that's my heads up. And now for the rest, I'll try to be dispassionate about talking about the whole shock collar issue. Essentially, what shock collars do, it's part of the whole program of corrective training. And corrective training is about forcing a dog to stop doing something or to do something else. And that's just not effective. You may stop a dog from doing something, but you can't change a dog's need, change a dog's reason for having a problem by forcing their behaviors underground. So it's very important to try and understand rather than use corrections, and shock collars are just the worst of that particular ilk.
Well, you know, it sounds like dogs are very similar to teenagers, because I don't know one single teenager that would actually be really excited about being forced to do anything. And I actually don't know any humans that would be excited about being forced to do anything. Usually the opposite happens. And if force happens, I have a feeling that it usually has consequences, and they're dear. The relationship breaks down, and it's very upsetting, as you said, for the dog, but also for the humans. And tell me why.
Well, to just think about using something that corrective on a dog. When you zap the dog, it hurts them, it shocks them, it surprises them. They know you did it. So it's kind of like I see the disappointment in the dog's eyes when that particular incident happens, because I've observed people using shock collars. The other thing is, so that human has to do something that really for most people is against their better nature, because they love their dog. But somebody's convinced them that that's what you have to do because it's a dog. And it's simply not true. And I deal with the clients who have used a shock collar and the agony they feel, never mind how the dog has felt about it or how it's harmed the dog, the people themselves have been harmed by it too emotionally. And it's very difficult on the relationship, because then we have to try and rebuild the trust. And I hear a lot of owner guilt for having used the shock collars too.
So it does sound like the people who are really promoting electric collars and are really strong about saying that they're okay, they may be feeling even guilt because they're not certain whether they're okay. And, you know, in nature, I usually say that, or in veterinary medicine and healing, I usually say that we should get as close to nature as possible. And I think in training and dog behavior, we should be like that too, because if we are not, then we are basically using force. It's like we are using a weapon, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. It's a weapon. And it's not natural to use those kinds of offensive, reactive, corrective techniques in any kind of relationship, whether it's human to human or dog to human. It's used by people who don't have the knowledge or the ability to actually teach a dog, and instead just want to use that. I remember several years ago meeting a quite a famous trainer in a city I won't name to make any identification. And he was used by an SPCA because he was considered wonderful. We went out to observe him and found out that his main tool, besides prong collars on puppies, was to use shock collars. And he said until someone gave him an electric shock collar, he really wasn't a trainer. And I was speechless.
You were shocked.
Yeah.
You were shocked.
And the thing, too, that he had been hired by the SPCA, by an SPCA to do this, was just added on to the shock. So but, you know, in the 21st century, you think people would understand better. And I think that's the saddest part, is that we still haven't evolved to understand that animals have the same rights and the same feelings and concerns as we do. It's that emotional state that we don't take into account.
You know, we sometimes compare dogs to children and to our best friends. I sometimes say bestest friends because that's my dog Sky expression in his P mail that he's been writing. I think that we wouldn't actually use shock collars on children, neither on our best friends. And I think they wouldn't be very happy about it. And I think that we have to really realize that dogs, humans, other animals, other living beings, they have feelings, and using that force does have definitely consequences. And I know that some people will oppose. Okay, well, you know, if I have a dog that doesn't behave and I want it to run off leash and then the dog is running across the street, I prefer using a shock collar and make him stop than being hit by a car. What do you answer to those people?
That's quite a ridiculous argument, because it's just, again, the comparison to children. If I have a child that's not capable of paying attention, I would never think of letting them run wild on a busy street where they could run out and get hit by a car. And if I did that, I'd be considered a very bad parent. Yet that same person thinks his dog should be off-leash when he can't guarantee his dog's reliability because he hasn't taken the time to teach his dog to be reliable. So I think another really interesting train or maybe statement that if you have to use corrective techniques and tools of correction, that you're really just saying that you're too lazy to take the time to teach your dog. And I think that's really true. If you manage your dog to keep him safe and out of trouble and quietly and calmly and carefully build their skills to be reliable, then you don't need a shock collar to stop them when they're in danger, because you're doing your job as a good guardian of taking care of them so they don't get into danger.
Well, this is fantastic, because that's why we are having you for the Dog School for Cool program here. And and I'm so grateful about that. And, you know, from the medical point of view, I actually have something to say about shock collars as well. Some people say that they only act locally and that the electric charge doesn't really affect the whole body. While we know that the whole body is a system of organized particles. When you look at the organs and cells, we dissect them and we go into the electrons and protons and energy particles. And the whole body is actually a very complex system of light. It's a supercomputer that is organized in a certain way. And we know that electricity does affect molecules and atoms and protons and neutrons. And so why would anyone think that it actually doesn't affect the dog on the whole body level? And that's where I really think that I have something to say about shock collars, and it is not just a matter of training, but it's also a matter of health. And if we apply the electric charge to our dog's body, sooner or later, we're going to have some problems, whether physical, emotional, overall, and they all connect. And at the end, we have a dog that lives shorter lives and is not as happy. And stress actually leads to disease as well. So whoever says that it's not my business to talk about shock collars and e-collars, I'm sorry, I'm not going to listen to you, because I think there is a lot I have to say about shock collars. And I'm so grateful that Kathy, have joined me today. And I understand that those people who really are adamant about using collars and e-collars and shock collars, they possibly feel guilty. But, you know, just think about it. Like, you would not use e-collar on your best friend or your child, on your wife, husband, partner. Please don't use them for your dog, because it is a medieval method. And we are not actually using torture devices on humans. So let's stop using them on dogs.
That's very good, Peter, and it's really interesting for me to hear the medical side of it, too. I had not been aware of that, and it makes such perfect sense. And I think our listeners would love to have a couple of references for that, too, because that's an incredibly supportive part of the argument for me.
Well, you know, we don't need to do double-blinded study on that. Like, if you look at anything in nature and physics, like, it's pretty logical that any foreign energy and influence will have an effect on any living being. So that's about it for today. Thank you so much, Kathy, for joining me. And for everyone else, if you would like to email Kathy, you can email her directly at discovery@customcanine.com. And it's customcanine.com. word by word, letter by letter. And if you would like to register for our Dog School for Cool, you can just sign up for the newsletter at drpeterdebias.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care.